This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks. Almost time for us to wrap up for the day. But we've got one more topic that we discussed back in October of this year. And this was something very interesting coming out of Japan. Their biggest airline were betting that the future of travel wasn't traveling at all. And for the last month, a married couple in Oita Prefecture had been interacting with a robot, which they called an avatar, of course, controlled by their daughter, hundreds of miles away in Tokyo. They were visiting with their daughter virtually. We got on air, me, Jeff, and Frida, and we talked about, you know, how could this be good for us? We talked about sustainability. We talked about eco-travel, all of that kind of stuff. This is what we chatted about. For the last month, a couple in one of the prefectures have been interacting with a robot called an avatar that's controlled by their daughter hundreds of miles away in Tokyo, so they can virtually visit her in Tokyo. So we thought we'd ask, would you take a virtual vacation, given the option to do so? The idea is that ANA Holdings, the airline, of course, from Japan, have designed this avatar. It looks a bit like a vacuum cleaner with an iPad attached. But the screen display, talking about this couple, the screen displays their daughter's face as they chat. And its wheels let this thing trundle around the house as though she's really there, even though, and it even joins the parents at the dinner table. When they want to, right? Might seem like a bit of a weird thing for an airline to be doing, but as populations age, tourism hotspots get more crowded, overseas travel becomes less sustainable. Some of the airlines and the other competitors are betting they can make money by keeping would-be travelers happily at home. Virtual travel, of course, is nothing new. Storytellers, travel writers, and artists have been stimulating the senses of armchair tourists for centuries. It's only in recent decades that frequent, safe travel, especially overseas, has become available to the non-wealthy, thanks in large part to low-cost airfares and home-sharing services. 2018, the travel and tourism business grew by nearly 4% and accounted for more than 10% of global GDP. Yet even as the world's middle class climb out of the armchair and into economy class seats, there are hints of post-travel society emerging. Concerns about sustainability and movements like flight shaming are taking a toll on carbon-intensive airlines and could spread to other forms of travel. The tourism boom is stressing popular destinations and forcing them to look at ways to limit visitors. People are poorer, they're getting older, and we're worried about climate change, of course. So my kind of concern about this is I'm not entirely sure that it would put somebody my age off. It might actually encourage me to want to go and do it. Yeah. If I'm looking at the Louvre in a virtual headset, I'm like, that's what it really looks like. I really want to go and see what it looks like. I want to experience what it's like in that space. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, so I've tried a couple of VR stuff, and I think VR could definitely help, especially when it comes to experiencing places that it's just physically impossible. I remember, one of my first VR experience was to go underwater in one of these it's not like a location that's known. It's just a 3D created underwater world where, you've got a whole bunch of different species coming up to you, and then you could sort of like touch them and stuff, right? So that for me was something, this is pretty interesting and made me want to go diving more. Because, I was having that sensation of what you would get when you go for a dive. I think it's probably a step in the direction of how VR and AR is taking place. Because now you can even do it on your phone. We were talking about Google Maps, right? And you could use Google Maps to just set yourself in that mood, even if you know you're traveling to a certain place. I use Google Maps just so that I can have a visual cue of what happens when I arrive at this destination. If I'm booking an Airbnb place, for example, I would go into Google Maps and then I'll have a visual cue of like, all right, so that's the housing area and where's the nearest, restaurant and where's the nearest Dobby or cleaners and, where I could actually walk around. And then I would start traveling within Google Maps itself. I start doing the one of the Google Street Tours thing. Yeah. And I actually enjoy it. And then little did I know that that's my mini vacation. That's my virtual vacation already by itself. So it's just branding, putting a name and a label onto it, right? So now it is virtual tourism. and you get airlines who are, you know, clearly a big part of traveling, now doing virtual tourism as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, you know, the problem with, I feel, virtual tourism may have is also like the how much are you willing to dedicate your time in doing this, right? You get distracted by so many things, you know, your mobile phone starts ringing, someone comes knocking on your door and like, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. So your mind is constantly busy when you're at home or when you're at work. So how are you going to...
I can just see yourself coming to work, you know, blurry-eyed, oh, I was at the Mardi Gras in Brazil.
I mean, those sensory deprivation pots.
Yeah.
There's a few places around KL that you can go and experience these things. And, you know, you combine that with a virtual headset and, you know, meals by IV. You could do this, Jeff. You know, you could do that and you could put yourself down for a week or whatever. I mean, it's not the safest of options, but that is something you can actually do. It's physically possible, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
You know, interesting ideas. But there is, you know, there's still stuff with me that even when I'm looking at this, I've looked at a whole bunch of stuff around VR, and I love the idea of VR, and I love some of the potential uses of it. I saw a video recently of an old man who very rarely gets out and suffers from dementia. And what they did was to give him a virtual headset and sent him into a dance hall where people were dressed like it was 1950.
Oh.
So it was his era, you know, and he was just like instantly transported back to that time and was like completely lucid whilst he was there. He's like, why are people so far away? Mm. And the girl was like, well, you can walk to them. And of course he walked through and he was like, this is brilliant. You know, it's put me in that space. Wonderful stuff. There you go. That's what we had a bit of a chat about. I don't think much has changed since then. We all kind of said it's a good idea. We like the idea of it.
I think it's just a very brave call from an airline company to actually say that the future of travel isn't traveling at all, right? Because that is them really thinking beyond the box, you know, really out of, you know, it's like out of the box and then they went to outer space of the box itself, right? That's how far they went in terms of like, because we always talk about how you should disrupt yourself, how you should think beyond. If you don't disrupt yourself, someone else is going to disrupt you. Here's a good example of how a company is disrupting their own self. It may or may not work, this kind of virtual tourism thing, to a point. It's kind of been happening. You know, you sit down on Google Maps and, you know, you're just kind of like surfing around the places and you're like, oh, that's a very nice place. You do street view and all, right? But this is like taking the next step. So you have like a robot avatar. It may or may not work, but at least their mindset is like, people are not going to buy airplane tickets anymore. What can we do next? So I like that part of that.
There's this video on YouTube, this guy who uploads videos of himself just walking through like New York or any kind of city in 4K. And it has like 3D sound, so you can get sounds from all over. And that's basically what it does. It's like 4-hour videos of just him walking through the rain, walking through the cities, through the alleyways. So I'm just looking at that and thinking, yeah, for the people who can afford to go to New York, it won't matter. Like, but there are so many people in the world, even people in the US, who cannot afford to go to New York. So this is their next best thing. If you hook up like a VR headset and they can just walk through, virtually walk through, that it doesn't take them to the place, but it's the next best thing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
There we go, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Of course, if you want to listen back to any of these There we go, folks. That's all we have time for today. If you want to listen back to any of the shows featured in today's show, they'll be listed in the podcast later on today. That's going up, so you can have a look back. You can check out the ones that you want to listen to. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, at noon. Tomorrow is all about breakthroughs and emerging markets. We've got stuff about cryptocurrency, space tourism, education, and entrepreneurs. That's all coming up tomorrow on the Best of Biz Bytes 2019 here on BFM. 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.